Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding, or in this case today, a honeymoon. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening. All you beautiful listeners.
You look beautiful, listener.
We hope you're having a great day.
Or night.
It's been night. It's been a little stressful for Michelle and I thus far today, but we have overcome. We shall persist.
We shall move on, because that's the only way to move is forward. Okay?
Mm.
That's it.
Write that down.
Guys, write that down. Remember that next time you're recording with someone and then you lose all the audio. You just remember that, okay? Because we love you. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Moving on. It's not lost. We don't think it's lost.
We hope it's not lost. Anywho's.
Okay, so we talk about weddings on this podcast. If you're listening,
we do?
Then you're here for the weddings. And what we try to do, and a mission of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, is to appeal to and to speak to all weddings, all budgets, all orientations, whatever choices you're making, elopements, giant 3-day, 600 guest wedding, all over the spectrum. We want to be able to give you good information that is applicable to any type of wedding. And this episode, we want to be the same, except shift weddings to honeymoons. Wrap your brain around the idea of a honeymoon, because a lot of people are not doing honeymoons anymore, or definitely not doing them right after the wedding.
And, right? And like, I, as a wedding planner, do not plan a honeymoon. I have no fucking idea.
We have nothing to do with that.
I have a little, there is a line item there on the planning timeline that says, hey, go talk to somebody about a honeymoon now. But that's about as far as I go. Yeah.
Don't tell me where your passport is.
I don't know.
Because at midnight on your wedding night, I'm out.
I'm out. Like, poof.
I'm out.
I'm in that
job
pumpkin.
Is over.
Yeah.
Yep. The glass slipper is on your feet now, mm-hmm. and you need to deal with fate and your honeymoon. We're finding that the more couples we work with that are, especially when they're paying for things themselves, the honeymoon is like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that in 8 months.
Mm.
Or we're planning something really awesome. We're going to go to Africa, but we don't have the money for it right now because
we just paid for a wedding.
We just planned this big wedding. But we want to like circle back and kind of dissect the idea of honeymoons and maybe talk about why they're awesome and some best practices for planning your wedding at the same time that you're planning your honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or having somebody plan it for you.
Yes, exactly. Which means we need a pro. We need a third wheel to this wagon right now, this wagon of recording, because we don't know anything about honeymoons and all we know is our own honeymoon, which we're going to share with you.
Oh, my God. It's so exciting.
I would like to note that Michelle and I are still in the honeymoon phase, so to speak, of podcasting. In a year or two, we'll be like just shouting at each other from different rooms.
We've kind of gone on a couple honeymoons, if you think about it. We've traveled together.
We have.
We've slept in the same room.
You shouldn't marry anybody unless you've traveled with them at least once, first of all.
Yeah.
Because that is a test of a relationship for sure. That and putting together IKEA furniture and troubleshooting something with a computer and like the Wi-Fi in an apartment. If you haven't done those three things with your partner, you need to do those before you get married to see if you're strong enough to be married. Okay, that's the big wisdom drop we have for you.
And you
right
should
there.
Probably pee in front of him. I would throw that in.
You think?
I mean,
I've never peed in front of Lance.
Before you were married?
Ever.
Oh, no. Really? Are you one of the... What's wrong with it?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
All right. I need to put out a poll right now, you guys listening. Can you please email us? Let us know if you pee in front of your partner. Do you pee... In a toilet.
It's one of the vital steps.
In a toilet. I'm not talking about on anybody. I'm just talking
Unless
about normal.
You're into that.
But if you're into that, I ain't judging you, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about here, okay? Christy's like, oh, that? I've done that. I mean, that's like,
no,
I mean, that's different.
Oh, I've definitely peed on him. Yeah. Just never next to him. No, that's not true. There's been no sort of, which is interesting because my house has like no boundaries. Like my kids still just like walk in on me at any point.
Well, you pee in front of your kids.
Sure. While I'm like grading their homework and yelling at them about putting their dishes in the sink, for sure. Like the doors are all open, but for some reason, that's just an invisible line with Lance and I.
You know, we're going to get...
I've never farted in front of him either.
You've never
farted
in front of him?
And we've been married for 10 years. Yeah. Can you believe it? All my friends are like, you have to do that. Why haven't you done that? That's unhealthy.
Okay. Anybody that's about to go on iTunes and write a review, because we're talking about peeing and farting before we get into the wedding stuff, stop. Don't do that.
You've never been married.
Don't waste your time. Okay.
Okay, we are veterans of marriage, and we're telling you what we know to be true.
I need you to pee in front of Lance.
What does Oprah say?
I need you to make that a goal for this year.
To pee in front of Lance, like, while talking to him.
Yeah, like,
or
even
whatever.
In a hotel room, Christy, like, you haven't, like...
You close the door.
Oh, my God. What if he has to brush his teeth?
Well, yeah, we just never have,
Michelle.
Well,
I'd like you to do that.
I'm sorry, I've disappointed you.
I'm just going to make that... I'm going to put that on your list of goals for this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well... We only have half a year left, so maybe 2020.
All right, so just text me, email me if you've peed in front of your partner or if you have not.
Text Michelle personally.
Don't text me.
Just to tell her if you pee in front of your partner.
I'm
going to
put a poll on Instagram.
Enough.
All right, so how did we get on? Okay, we're talking about honeymoons today.
That's right. And we have a guest who knows about honeymoons because we've exhausted. That's all the information
she's
we
like,
know.
I think she hung up. I think she's gone.
She's like, what have I got?
No, I'm here. And I have opinions on this topic, too. Honeymoons are a great time to pee in front of each other.
So. Good.
Wait, what? You've never peed in front of each other?
Honeymoons are a great time to pee in front of each other, too. Yeah. But I agree. It's something you have to do.
Have you peed in front of your
husband?
Yeah.
We live in a very small New York apartment. So it would be really hard to
You have a
avoid.
Husband or wife?
Yes.
Husband.
A husband. Yep.
Okay.
My husband and I have a small New York apartment. My dog is frequently with me when I'm peeing also.
Sure.
It's all of us. Yeah.
But there's a door.
There is a door.
To the bathroom.
But you leave it open if you're talking to him, right?
Yeah.
Like
it's actually really awkward when we have people over because both my husband and dog don't understand why the door is closed. I'm doing this thing because people are over.
Oh, that's good. It's something we all have
to
in
each
common.
Their own.
Okay. Yes. All right, Christy, why don't you tell our peeps who we talking to?
Yes. So we have on the line today.
Caller number one.
Irina Vishnevskaya. I said it right before. Vishnevskaya.
Exactly.
Vishnevskaya. That's correct, right?
It is absolutely correct.
Of Alle, A-L-L-E, Travel.
Yep.
So let's learn about Irina.
Okay.
With a formal education in international business, Irina's adventures have taken her all over the world many times for both business and pleasure. Her former career was working with a brewing equipment manufacturer, bringing huge brewery installation projects to places like Bangalore, India, and Kampala, Uganda.
Wow.
Totally. I have also done that. She then started Ale Travel. She then started Ale Travel, a travel planning company. Think of it like the modern version of an old school strip mall travel agent, because she saw that honeymooners were looking for exciting once in a lifetime travel experiences, but were running out of energy and time to plan a honeymoon and a wedding at the same time. Irina and her team are passionate about making it easier and more approachable for travelers to get up and go discover the vast, beautiful, and diverse world we live in. They work with mostly honeymooners and love customizing each client's travels to the particular client's budget, interests, and lifestyle. I love that. I almost teared up a little bit at the big, beautiful, vast, diverse world we live in part.
Yeah, it's really deep.
Good bio.
Thank
you. I thought you were saying right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you. We are finished.
Goodbye, yo.
That's all.
Okay, welcome, Irina.
Yes, and tell us, give us a little bit of your origin story beyond the bio and how you went from beer in Uganda to travel agency out
you
of Brooklyn.
You don't see the link there, the connection? That's easy.
Yeah, no, definitely went from being surrounded by only men to now mostly women all the time. So I'm just like switching between the worlds. No, when I traveled a ton for my old job, I, you know, obviously you can tack on, like, if I'm here in this place, might as well stay here for a few days and explore on my own. And then you earn points and stuff like that. So I just started traveling a lot for both work and pleasure. And when I would come back from these trips, people would always be like, well, how'd you know to do that? How did you know to do that? And I was like, I don't know. I did. Is this not normal that people know this? And that was right around the time that my husband and I were planning our wedding. So I was kind of around the wedding world, stressed out beyond all hell. And I was like, well, honeymoons, like people, when you're in the middle of planning a wedding, you're so overwhelmed and you hear people telling you like, oh, you should honeymoon. Honeymoons are really important. But it just feels like this like extra stressful homework assignment
that it's not as immediate as all the wedding plan stuff.
Right. And it doesn't have like, a wedding is sort of a show to the world, right? So like you have to get it done. Whereas with a honeymoon, it's like, oh, whatever, we'll just push it off. It's just the two of us. So he's like, well, what if I were to provide a service like this? And I put up a website and then I told my husband 2 months later that like nobody contacted me. So nobody wants the service. He was like, do you know how many websites there are in the world?
Yeah.
Which is very fair. So we basically started, like, The Knot was the first place that we started at the time that we were living in Minneapolis. So I just did, like, a quick Knot listing and was like, I don't know. If people don't find me here, I'll whatever. I still had my old job at the time. And, yeah, our first clients were honeymooners. They continue to be honeymooners. Now we work with a lot of their families as well. We get introduced to their grandparents and their parents. Now some of our honeymooners are going on baby moons or traveling with their 10-month-old, which is a whole new world for us, but we're learning. Yeah. But the honeymoon space is where we're so comfortable. Like, it's just what we do day in and out, and we love it. It's cool to be of service in a way when people are, like, really, really needing a trip, but also just don't have the brain space for it.
And it's like a relief for them. You can feel it. Like, oh my gosh, we never would have mapped it out that way or like figured out the flights and the time it takes to get to the hotel. I mean, all that stuff does feel
overwhelming.
Just extra. Yeah. Like that's extra. We can't deal with it. Let's get through the wedding and then we'll regroup, look at our finances and consider a honeymoon later.
Yep.
I also have worked with a lot of couples that take like a little mini moon right after, which if you're, that's certainly better than nothing in my opinion, because you need that downtime together to like lay in a hotel bed and talk about how awesome your wedding was.
Yeah.
I actually,
but that's like a 2 or 3 day thing.
I love that idea. And I don't think that, I think it gets overlooked a lot, even by people who are planning a honeymoon, but for like 3 months later, they don't do anything right after their wedding. And it's like, it doesn't have, you don't even have to get on a plane, go find a cabin in the woods somewhere, find a spa, something, where it's literally just
actual
the two of you.
Downtime.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. When did you start your business?
Three and a half years ago.
Okay. Because I just was like, I remember, I don't know when it was, but I remember somebody saying to me once, like, are there still travel agents? Because I remember, I'm a little bit older than you. And I remember when I would plan trips, like right now I'm in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, and I'd been coming here since I was 17, my dad and I would go to our travel agent to the office, and she would find, you know, she would find or be on the phone or on the computer and find connected directly to the airline systems, find flights and print out everything there. You know, we'd walk away with our little folder with
printed
my
ticket.
Boarding. My ticket and everything right there. And, you know, now you do everything online. So it's lovely that you are making a living at being a travel agent, but you're so much more than a travel agent. I mean, you're planning people's entire experience.
Right. And it is, honestly, when we started, it was hilarious to listen to me talk. My husband would always be like, Irina, no one gives a damn. Because I'd be at a friend's place for dinner, and they'd be like, so what do you do? And I'd be like, well, but it's kind of like a travel agent, but it's a little different. And he's like, Irina, no one cares. Just tell them what they do. But I felt like if I said I'm a travel planner or a travel agent, they would think, I honestly think of obese people in AAA offices that only sell cruises. And that's just so far from what we do. And also our clients don't want anything packaged. Like, they don't want all inclusive. They don't want cruises. They don't want anything that anybody else has been on. So it's been an adventure kind of getting to where we are now. And now I'm so comfortable with like who we are. And it's also really interesting because when we started even 3.5 years ago, we charge a fee for our work. So we have a flat fee. We don't do commission. I don't care if your honeymoon is $3,000 or $45,000. We work with both. Okay. As long as you pay our fee, we love you and adore you, not just because you're paying our fee, but you're our client.
Yeah.
With traditional travel agents, they live off of commission. And it used to be if I was in a room of travel agents and I would say what I do and how I do it, it was like, oh my God. You're serious. People
you're
pay
gonna
you.
Ruin this for
people
the rest of
you.
Us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it's so interesting because people are coming around to it, and I see a lot of traditional travel agents will reach out to me and be like, "How do you do this?" It's like,
I feel like the industry, at least from my experience, is moving more towards niche jobs like yours with honeymoons or travel agents that you would contact because you want to like hike a specific mountain and you want the best way to do it, like adventure travel agents or like the environmental ones, you know, or the charity related ones where you go to them because it's very specific what you want to do that you don't think you can just Google it all yourself.
Yeah.
And do it all yourself like a regular flight.
That's totally it. Because everybody knows how to Google, right? Like the people we work with, it's not that they don't know how to use the internet. They definitely do. They just know that the internet is so vast and they only have
so
much time.
They're going to go down a black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that you can put together an itinerary for, you know, essentially like 3 different cities in 1 country in a week and make it make sense and do the research on how to get from 1 city to the next and how to make the most of your time. Because if you're going to plan, for my clients at least, the idea of planning a week-long vacation right after their wedding is daunting because they don't want to end up on a plane, in a car, in a bus, on a boat, wasting what they consider like precious time. They want the fastest way to get their butts to the beach or to that amazing hike
whatever
they want to do.
Or,
whatever. So you need a professional's help to be like, oh yeah, don't go through that airport or make sure you don't take a cab because it's gonna whatever. You can't actually learn all that stuff online unless you're copying someone's exact honeymoon experience that they're sharing.
Yeah.
So it was like, it seems like people would come to you because they do, they are savvy and they do have the money and they want to take the honeymoon, but they just don't have the time or bandwidth to figure out the best way to do it.
So exactly. what is the process with you, Irina? Like walk us through what someone could expect or why they should use you. Because anybody can use you, by the way. You're in New York, but like...
Yeah, we work with clients from all over the world. And our team is actually... So there's four of us. Everybody is spread all over the globe. I'm the only one in the U.S.
Oh.
So like one of our travel planners, Emily, right now is in Sri Lanka. Another one is in Toronto. Polly's in Bulgaria. And that's by design so that we're always planning from a local perspective. Like we've been there. It's not
so
like
you're
we're
planning
like,
for all US based honeymoons
clients who are from the U.S. I mean, we've never had anybody reach out from another country. We'd work with them
clients
happily,
but that are in the U.S. All right.
But from all over.
You're booking anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the
go.
World where we have experience. So like if somebody wanted to go to, I don't know, Easter Island, we don't have any experience there. So we would be like, it's off the coast of Chile. Oh. It's really random. So rarely do people want to go there.
Yeah. What if someone calls you and doesn't have a destination in mind, but just knows like we want
that's
something eco-friendly and we want a beach?
I should do the math on this, but almost 100% of our honeymooners don't know exactly where they want to go.
Oh, really?
It's really, really interesting.
So they're open to suggestions.
So, okay. So you're finding out then what? Now this, for me, the way my mind works is like when somebody comes to me and they're like, we don't know what we want to do for our wedding. And I'm like, okay, talk to me about you. What do you like? Blah, blah, blah. Is that the process for you?
That's exactly what we do. Yep. We want, and I mean, most people aren't like, they're not totally clueless. They know they know the things that they have liked to do together in the past when they travel. They know that approximately what their budget is or approximately what feeling they're going for. And maybe they have a few places in mind, but they're not like dead set on, you know, I don't know, Thailand or whatever. So we talk to them, get to know them. We have like a questionnaire that we have them fill out and then obviously a call to like drill down deeper. And then we call them trip previews, which is basically like a snapshot of the different places that they're considering through their lens. And also places that we, you know, recommend or think that from our conversation, we're like, hey, we think we would really like this place. And then from there, they can decide. So that's really, for most people, that's so, so needed. Because they're, like, I had a call with a couple last night, and it was like, I mean, we talked about the Maldives, we talked about Italy, we talked about Norway, you know, like, no place on the world was off the table. So deciding between those is really hard if you don't set up parameters for yourself and if you're not comparing apples to apples. If you're just Googling and talking to the person cutting your hair and your coworker, everybody has a different opinion. But they're not taking into account your interests, your budget, even the time of year that you're traveling. We have it frequently where someone's like, we want to go on our honeymoon in December to Greece. And it's like, that's cool because you've probably heard a lot about Greece, but it's freezing cold there and everything's closed in December. So let's talk about other places.
So you've been to a lot of places.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to. This is your field. Yep. You have to experience this. This is horrible. This is a downside.
It's a horrible
of your job.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you could say something like, if you guys really like Greece for these reasons, then I don't know if you've ever thought about Croatia or some other place that would have, like, you're bringing it up maybe for the first time.
Yeah.
How exciting that people might be like, yeah, okay, tell us about Croatia
or
whatever.
And that's my favorite part of what we do.
You win them over.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
It's the best. And then you have some people that maybe were thinking more conservatively at first as far as destinations and then end up picking somewhere that's way more adventurous and come back being like converted people, but now they want to see the world and do everything. And it's like, yes, we did
that's
our
awesome.
Job.
That is so cool. So, so the process is they call you, you help them figure out where.
Yep. And then after that, they get assigned to, so each person on our team specializes in certain places. So they get assigned to the person who is like that specialist. And that person becomes their travel planner. Basically, like the wedding planner for their honeymoon, if we're trying to use like really, really simple terms. And what that person first does is put together a preliminary trip plan, which is like a rough draft where we get feedback. Like, we just want our clients to look at it and punch holes in it and be like, I love this, don't love this, oh my God, what is this? Because we're learning from that. And it's really hard to for people to like tell us what they want without seeing something. So I always think of it as like, this is us showing you stuff. And based on what you see, you're telling us and we're like taking notes.
And what you don't like is just as important.
Exactly. Right.
Or and they might come up with some questions, I guess.
Sorry, a lot of times you don't know that you don't like it until you see it. Like, it's just human nature, right? So it's kind of hard to talk in thin air. So that's where everything starts. And then we do all the logistics. We do accommodation options. And then when our clients travel, they have everything in our app. Everything is linked in Google Maps.
Oh, yeah, you have an app.
We do.
They see, like, everything that their travel planner is doing for them in real time there, or they can interact, or what's the app
do? They can. We typically only have clients download it, because, I mean, anybody can download it right now in the App Store, but it's not really relevant. Like, it'll just be empty. You get a code for your specific trip. And we typically have clients download it, like, right before they travel, because that's when it really becomes relevant, because you're not going to be sitting at home, like, Google Maps your way to dinner.
Like, okay, that's so like, if you've made reservations, it's on the app. Like, here's where we're going. So they're on their travels, and they just, everything is in that one. It's like a binder. It's like everything is right there.
And it's all on your phone. You can also message us 24/7 when you're on the road. We have a whole on-call system. So, I mean, usually people are really quiet. We did, actually, you'll love this story. We had clients in Bali a year ago. A lot of bathrooms in really fancy places in Bali are outdoors. And like, I mean, these places are beautiful. It's just an outdoor private bathroom with a cool shower, etc. So this couple went out for the day and came home, and the bride's birth control was gone. It was stolen from the bathroom. And so they went to the lobby and were like, we have this weird thing. Like, only one thing was stolen. My birth control.
And what kind of birth control was it?
It was like a classic aluminum pill. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
A monkey broken.
Oh, that monkey.
That's awesome.
Right? So the monkey broken stole the birth control, because it's like,
wait, how did we know it was a monkey? Is there a video?
So that's what's funny. The resort, we've had a conversation with the resort since, and now when we have clients going to that same resort, we leave them a warning, because we're like, if you know that monkeys break in, you definitely need to communicate that.
Yeah.
But basically, what happened is this couple was on the first day of their honeymoon without birth control, and we don't really talk to our clients about their conception plans, but like...
Sure, no, that's not part
I'm
of
guessing that wasn't
It's where you draw
plan.
A line.
They messaged us in the app. We found, a place, a pharmacy in town where she could get the exact birth control that she needed. And so that was something that we used.
Cause that's
the app
important
for.
On your honeymoon. Yeah. You're not going to have sex on your wedding night, but that's got to happen on the honeymoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the fun. We've done that. I can say we've done that.
That's concierge right there. Service, man.
Yeah, but for most people, it's chill. Pretty chill.
Yeah.
That's rare.
What is your cost? I mean, what does someone pay you? What's your flat fee, if you don't mind sharing?
I'm happy to share. It's on our website as well. It's $159 per day that the client is like feet on the ground at their destination. So we don't count if you're going somewhere like crazy far away and flying for 2 days, we don't count that. So we count a day as like waking up and going to sleep at your destination. So if it's 7 days, 7 days times, or seven times 159.
And they pay you up front, and then you do the research and get it done.
Yep. So it's 50% up front, 50% at the end.
That's not bad.
I was definitely expecting you to say way more.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even think that it could be a day. This is how much we vetted you.
Yeah.
And we looked at your website, clearly. Wait, I didn't even think that it would be on a day-to-day, like, basis on that.
It's just kind of the easiest way to allocate it, and we want to be really transparent about pricing. So it's the easiest way to be like, just take the number of days, multiply it, There you
and
have it.
And that is paying for essentially not just the work you do beforehand, but the availability exactly. during their honeymoon to reach out with questions. Yes. That's huge.
It's both.
Well, I was going to go into the frequently asked questions that you sent us mm-hmm. that most of your clients ask you. The main one being about budget. Since we now know how much you cost, I assume the first thing people ask when they call you is, how much is this honeymoon? How much do honeymoons cost on average, or how do you price that out? How do they even go about figuring it out?
Yeah, so it's a little bit, it's a conversation, I would say. The thing is, mostly what affects budget is your destination. So there's some places in the world that are just more expensive than others. There's some places that are more affordable than others. And it's really just how far your dollar goes. If you take a place like the Maldives or the Seychelles, you need to have really at least 10 grand at minimum to like even start thinking about it. If you take a place like Bali, it's incredibly affordable and you can have as little as $4,000 and you can have a wonderful honeymoon in Bali. Europe is pretty flexible in a lot of ways as far as budget. So it really, it kind of like the first question is the where. And if your where is flexible, but your budget is a little bit more fixed, then that's a really good place to start the conversation of like, okay, well, what is your budget? Because then we can steer you in the direction of a destination that fits your budget so that you're not like, my dream is the Maldives. And I only have $3,000, which is a great amount of money. You should be able to get the honeymoon that you want. Like, nobody should make you feel bad about that. But you just have to pick the right destination. Otherwise, you'll be feeling really sad the whole time you're in the Maldives because you're not.
A place that has what the Maldives has, but is less expensive and maybe off the beaten path a little bit.
Exactly.
You would know that.
Yeah.
So when you say like $4,000 for Bali, that includes tickets, flights.
It can.
Okay.
Bali can be so crazy affordable.
Interesting. So I'm then on this note, I want to jump down to your hacking with places that are like maybe people haven't thought about that are the most bang for your buck or ways to honeymoon that provide that.
Yeah. So first of all, if you are like obsessed with a destination that's more popular, like right now, for example, the Amalfi Coast in Italy is having a moment.
Thank you, George Clooney.
I went there last year.
There you go.
Isn't it like
it was you?
George Clooney.
You were an influencer.
It was Christy. You yeah, did it.
It was me and George together. We were seen at a coffee shop, and it just blew up from there.
The impact this podcast has on the public is amazing.
There you go. But yeah, totally having a moment. And it's if you want to go in August, you better save up a lot of money. But if you still have your heart set on it, that's fine. Go in late April. Go in early May. Go in October. The prices will be much more affordable. You'll get a lot more for your money. You won't have to, you know, be budgeting as much. So that's a really easy place to start is like thinking, obviously don't go in the middle of winter when no one's going to be there and the hotels are closed, but like think in the shoulder seasons when it's still good weather, a great time to be there, but you're not there with everybody else and their mom. So off season is just across the board. So yeah, off season. Number one, credit card points is another one. Know what you have. Chase Sapphire is a great card. You can combine your points if you have that. Put all your, but I Chase should pay me. I tell so many clients about them. Chase, if you're listening.
We had the credit card hacking guy was telling us about that credit card too, the Chase Sapphire.
It's
I have
really,
it.
Really, yeah, it's
great.
One of the best. It's so flexible. And you can combine points with your partner really easily. So if you both have points from your own accounts, super easy to combine. So that's a good one. And then flights usually burn the most amount of money in a honeymoon. And it's usually like the enemy that we're like trying to beat. So if you can save money on flights, that opens up the budget for much more fun stuff that you'll actually remember from your honeymoon. Nobody ever came home from their honeymoon and was like, our flight, that was the best part. It was so amazing. With flights, we always tell people 6 months before you travel is the sweet spot for international travel. That's obviously not like, that doesn't mean that if you find a $400 ticket to Greece, you should be like, no, I'm going to wait. Irina said to wait.
Yeah.
But generally, that's when prices settle into a really comfortable area. Because what happens is airlines price, they put people who plan way in advance and people who plan last minute in the same category. They put you into like these people have to travel bucket. So if you're traveling last minute, maybe there's a, I don't know, like something urgent happened and you have to get on that flight, you're going to pay the surcharge, right? If you're booking way in advance, you probably have a wedding you have to be somewhere for. You probably really have to travel on that date and you really need to be on that one flight. So they're kind of charging that surplus. So in the 6 month time zone, you're usually, you're like, hard to get, right? You're signaling to the airline that you can travel, you cannot. It all depends on the price that you give me. Signing up for flight trackers like Hopper is a great app. You just put in your dates and where you want to go, and it'll basically ping you when there's a good price available. Google Flights also tracks prices. If you're totally flexible.
I've never used Google Flights.
Yeah, it's gotten better and better. It used to not be great, but especially this year, we've noticed that they've made tons of improvements. So you can run a search and say you're like, I'm not quite seeing what I want. You can just track it and it'll send you updates when it moves up or down. So that's a really good tool. Or if you're like crazy flexible about where you want to go, sign up for Scott's Cheap Flights. They send you incredible deals of very, very cheap flights. You have to have flexibility with your dates and with where you want to go. But if you're like, we're open, we have no idea where, we'll kind of let the budget lead the way and wherever is cheapest, sign up for it. It's free. You'll get it in your inbox.
What's it called again?
Scott's Cheap Flights. And it's literally like an old school newsletter. Like you just
We'll include that link because we've never heard of that. And now we feel
I highly recommend it. It's also dangerous. Like I, for my personal travel self, had to unsubscribe because I was like, I can't keep buying plane tickets.
Yes, you can. You got to work, though. You can work from anywhere, right? You could work remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just like
Irina, what are your favorite, like, I guess in the past couple years, favorite locations or been like the most just like you hit it out of the park for that couple?
So across the board, I know I've mentioned Bali already, but Bali always delivers. Like, it's just because it's so budget friendly, and it doesn't have to be budget friendly. There's a Four Seasons in Bali that's $2,000 a night. So, you know, you can do what you want.
Sure.
But generally, that just works really well for honeymoons. And it's cool because there's beaches, there's adventure, there's hiking, there's culture, there's food, there's diving. It kind of hits all the notes. And there's islands off the coast that are really cool to explore, too. So it's kind of like this magical world where everybody can make it their own.
And people come back and say, like, the locals were friendly and we felt safe and transportation was easy. Because all those things are like, the planner in me would be thinking about those, not just the view and the beautiful hotel.
Yeah. And what it has is that it's kind of the perfect size island. Because if you think about if an island is too small, there's just not much to do. So it's there's very few islands in the world that kind of hit the sweet spot of like big enough, but also not like, you know, a 3 hour flight to get from one end to the other, because that's not fun. So hitting that sweet spot is really important. Another place in Europe, we've been loving Portugal, just because the southern coast has
where
been
in Portugal.
Well, everywhere. So we like it's really fun to start in the south, do the beaches, those incredible cliffs that lead down to these like secluded cove beaches. And then going up north to the Douro Valley for awesome wine. Lisbon.
I'm going to have you plan my trip to Portugal.
Cool.
I will someday because I am.
She's not going to pay you for that.
I'm not going to pay you. No, it's not true. But I'm part Portuguese and I never have been. And my grandmother's family is from the Azores Islands. And apparently I still have family there. And that's one of my dreams is to go to Portugal. So
I have been trying to talk a client into going to the Azores for so long. There's direct flights now from Boston. And people are always like, yeah, not for this trip.
Oh, I've heard it's just like amazing.
It's incredible.
And I've heard Lisbon is like one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
I think it's one of Europe's most vibrant cities, if not the most. Like, it's just a really interesting, because they're not like, some European cities are like, yeah, it's like, we're famous. Everything here is old, you know, and it's beautiful, but Lisbon is busy reinventing itself all the time too. So it's both historic and like crazy vibrant. There's neighborhoods that are up and coming, cool boutiques, cafes, bars. It's just a really cool place to be.
Have you been to Budapest?
I used to live in Hungary.
Okay. Oh my God. So I didn't know that. I live vicariously through my brother and his partner, and they travel just all the time to the most amazing places. It's like, oh, to be dual income, no kids, just living your life.
Yeah.
But they, you know, visited a ton of places in Europe when they lived there because it was so easy to travel from London. But multiple times have told me that Budapest, I think they were there on New Year's Eve for some reason, but was hands down one of their favorite cities. And that they said it, and the reason I bring it up is because they said it's the kind of city you can go to on a trip and really, truly just stay there for 5 days.
Yeah, there's a ton to do. It's a really, also a city that has gone through a ton of change in the last like 5-10 years. So when I lived there, when I first moved out there, it was 10 years ago. It was a bit rough still, not like rough, like dangerous, but just like not cleaned up. And now when I go back, I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful and perfect. And Hungarian wine is super underrated. It's delicious. Hungarian food is one of the only European foods that has like a big spice profile. So it's spicy. It's like paprika, lots of paprika, lots of flavors. So it's really unique from a lot of European foods. And it's still much cheaper than a lot of Europe.
And so Paris or Florence much to spend time in.
Yep.
So that kind of city might be a place that you recommend when the couple is like, we just want to experience something unique in Europe.
Exactly.
You could say like, go to Budapest. Here's a couple hotels that I'm familiar with. And then they kind of work with you to curate the itinerary.
Yep. So we plan their independent sightseeing, their local experiences. If it's a wine cellar visit, we love stuff with locals. So a meal at a local chef's home or something like that. If the couple's up for it. Not everyone.
Do you work booking Airbnbs for people,
yes,
or do you always? So it's we have Zola is one of our sponsors, and you know, you can register for Airbnb, you could register for travel, airline, different
gift
airlines
cards
and such. So, like, if somebody had that, like, you could help them and integrate all that into their.
Yeah, we've had many clients do. I love Zola. I used Zola when we were getting married as well. It was much easier than any other registry. But that's a whole other story. So, yeah, what a lot of our couples have done is they'll take their trip plan from us, and they basically integrate it into their Zola so that it's not just like, I don't know, $5,000 for honeymoon. They'll be like, we're doing this thing in this city and it costs this much. And they'll like include a picture and a description.
Oh, on their website. There's Zola.
Yeah, on the Zola.
Oh, cool. So people can contribute to the honeymoon that you're planning for them.
Exactly. Yep.
So listen to that, Zola. That's awesome.
It's really cool. And then your thank you cards to them are so much more interesting. We really enjoyed this. We had one couple that would like include a picture of them doing that thing, whatever it was that the person gifted to them. And obviously it's really it comes to you in the form of cash, so you can do whatever you want with it. But the person gifting
We went scuba diving and you paid for
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
yeah.
I love that too. And the question of whether or not asking for cash for registries or to contribute to a honeymoon fund, and we get emails about this, like how to word that, or is it tacky, or are all the, you know, older generation relatives not going to want to do that? And we do suggest that people have a varied registry so that somebody that wants to get you a coffee maker can still do that. But if you don't have a lot of actual items and you do have something open, like contribute to our honey fund or our honeymoon or, you know, Airbnb or whatever, then once people see that the other gifts are checked off, they'll spend that $50, $100 they were going to spend on your wedding gift anyway and put it into the fund.
Yeah. And people are really open to it, even the older generations. I have found that it feels special to them too, especially when they know what they're getting you, you know, at like for your honeymoon. I think you're not just asking for straight up money, you know? So I think the world is behind it. Don't be worried. It's kind of my take on it.
I think so too. And the more often grandma does that, yeah, the more comfortable she's going to feel, exactly, you know, when each grandkid gets married. It's not the same thing as people giving you cash in an envelope, no, like a mafia,
right,
wedding from 1985. Although some cultures still
do that. I was going to say, Chinese
that.
Culture, red envelope,
yeah,
the, man.
Yeah,
the red envelope.
Too.
You look forward to that. Yep. Yeah.
And then you just put it straight into your honeymoon fund at home,
yeah,
the little,
yeah,
box you have, the lock box.
Yes.
And we found when we were getting married that most of our friends who were already married just wrote a check, and I was like, oh, you get it, like, you totally know I don't, yeah, need that coffee maker.
Yeah,
so we try to do the same, my husband and I.
So to wrap it up, I guess, well, Michelle, tell it, well, let's talk about our own honeymoons and what we,
yes,
did, what we wish we had done, or why it worked, you know, the pros and cons. I can think of a couple for my own, for sure.
Me too. You want to start?
Yours was the longest time ago.
Thank you for that.
That's not fair.
Well, it was. No, it really was. So we paid for our wedding ourselves, and there was absolutely no way in hell we were going on a vacation trip of any kind after that. So it took us to...
You were eating Top Ramen for 4 months, yeah, after that wedding, so...
Just like how we began.
Off.
Top Ramen. So we went 4 years later to...
Holy cow!
Yeah. To Paris. We went to Paris. And
but you called it a honeymoon. Like, you guys treated it like a honeymoon.
Yeah, we were like, well, where should we? Well, I think we could finally go somewhere. We went to Paris. And but what's funny is that my stepfather is obsessed with Paris. And he's been going to Paris, like, for years and years and years and years. And my mom got so sick of it. Like, she's like, I don't want to go to Paris anymore. And he was like an old dog. Like, he would not go anywhere else. They would go to New Orleans, actually. New Orleans is the other place they love. So, yeah. But when he heard that Jose Luis and I were going to Paris, he's like, well, I'm going to go. And we're like,
wait, with you?
Yeah. He went to Paris with us. He went to Paris with us. He stayed in a different hotel and all that. But, like, every day we were with him because he's older and my mom didn't want him to be by himself, you know. And, you know, so he went with us on our honeymoon to Paris.
I did not know that. That's kind,
yeah,
of sweet.
That's really,
and we
sweet.
We stayed at the Sofitel, and it was lovely. And my cousin, our cousin, lives in Paris also. Mm. So, you know, we hooked up with him. We took the train to London one day. And then... we had a great time, but the weird thing that happened on the way back, we're like flying back and we were all on the same flight, but Dave, my stepfather, God.
He upgraded to first class?
No. Okay. We're like on the phone. We'll meet you at the airport, right? So, sorry. We were not on the same flight. But we were supposed to meet at the airport and then, like, you know, see each other and then get on our flights. Well, he never showed up at the airport. And we're calling and calling and calling his cell phone. And no Dave. Where is Dave? And I'm calling my mom. Finally, I called my mom. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean you lost him? And she's like, she can't get a hold of him either. He's not calling us. We're not calling him. He put his freaking cell phone in his suitcase. He accidentally packed his suitcase. He was late to the airport, checked his luggage in really fast, got on his flight, but was not able to communicate with anyone. So we're all freaking out, and it's like a 16-hour flight. You know, my mom is having a heart attack. My grandmother, when she was still alive, was having a heart attack. I'm like... And Jose Luis is like, you just had to have your stepdad come with us. To this day, my mother still yells at me for losing my stepfather. But he left his cell phone. Anyway. But
that it was lovely. It sounded like he was going to get kidnapped and sex trafficked, which is my worst fear whenever I travel.
My mother's a worrier. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. And it was the first time I had ever been to Europe. And, you know, since I've been there quite a few times. But, yes, that was my honeymoon 4 years later.
Amazing.
I would have had you plan it, and you called Dave and told
not
him,
lost Dave.
I'm sorry.
I was
you can't go on their honeymoon,
like,
or don't put your cell phone in your suitcase, sir. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so glad we've never had a client do that.
But now
I know that that's a possibility.
I could have called you and said, deal with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. We have
that's
dealt
part
with
of her service.
Yep. Yes. And what about you, Christy?
Well, I was pregnant, as you know, on my wedding day, almost 6 months. And so we did go to Monterey, which is about an hour and a half south. And we spent 2 nights in a hotel on the ocean, and we did the like Monterey Aquarium. I have a picture of me like pregnant in front of this display of a pregnant seahorse.
Nice.
Like, oh, look. The seahorse and I were both okay, but we only did 2 days, and we, you know, ate out and laid around and slept in, and then 2 days later back up to the city and back to normal, mostly because I didn't want to spend the money and the time on a honeymoon if I couldn't drink and, you know, do whatever I wanted, because I didn't want to be pregnant. But then 10 months later, so we left my son when he was 5 months old. We left him for 5 days with my mom in our house, and we went to Mexico, and it was Puerto Vallarta and just an all-inclusive, basically like as easy as we could possibly do for as cheap as we could possibly do.
Yep.
But we wanted to be out of the country and far enough away to like actually unplug.
Mm.
And it rained every day that we were there, and, you know, it wasn't the best all-inclusive resort that Puerto Vallarta has to offer. So, you know, we've since then traveled a lot, just the two of us, and also traveled with our kids. But I definitely wouldn't say we got the honeymoon that I wish we had been able to have.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to go to New York City in September or October this year. I've said this before, for our 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to spend like 4 days and actually kind of go big. And to me, that will feel sort of like
the honeymoon.
Yeah, it'll feel like elaborate, and like we're kind of treating ourselves a little bit that we didn't do at the time. So
good.
That was mine. I did take a mini moon. I do suggest that if you can't do a trip right after. And I'm glad we went to Mexico and took that time. But, you know, if I could do it differently, I probably would stay somewhere better.
But now you can.
Now you can. Yeah. Now we know Irina. We got hookup. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about yours?
You probably expect my honeymoon to have been like a luxurious island. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere way off the grid. But ours was actually unorthodox too. My husband, it was like he was in the middle of grad school when we got married. So he got a research assistantship position in Israel for the summer. And we were like, this is exciting. What are we going to do? And so we thought about like, well, could he delay it? Could we go somewhere? And then we kind of turned the whole summer into our honeymoon. So because I can work remotely, I just went with him. And we splurged a little more than we would have on a nicer Airbnb. So I still dream about that apartment. It had like a rooftop wraparound thing. And I was definitely living my best version of my life.
So it still felt like a treat.
Yeah,
it wasn't, I mean, it was not a fancy resort at all or anything like that. But normally we would not have picked a place like that. So we definitely stepped up a little bit. And then we just made sure like every single night we'd go out to eat. Every single night we'd be checking out a new place or going away for the weekend. So it was like we took a honeymoon and spread it out over a summer. And while it wasn't like a compact, you know, we were both still working. So it was like during the day, it was real life. It was just at night that was special. But I think to both of us, it was like, we got a whole summer as a honeymoon. How cool is that?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it was definitely special to us, but was not, you know, the kind of honeymoons that I plan for clients. Maybe someday I'll have one of those.
You shall. Very good.
It's like an interior decorator. If you go to their house.
Exactly.
It always looks like.
You're like, why is this all
IKEA?
What
are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. This episode was full of links, websites and apps that you mentioned. So I'll include all of those links in our show notes. So if you're listening to this and you want to check out, what was the place that
Scott's.
They give you the newsletter? Scott's?
Scott's.
Yeah, we'll have that link for you. And, of course, we'll link to Zola, who isn't even sponsoring this episode. Ooh. And we're all fans.
Yeah.
And if anybody emails us with honeymoon questions, is it okay if we forward them
Absolutely.
To you or ask,
yep.
ask a pro?
Absolutely not. She doesn't do that.
Don't.
I hate
don't
honeymoon.
Even
no,
think about
it. I love yapping about this, as you can tell. So, yeah, even if somebody doesn't end up working with us, I answer emails from my heart all the time or happy to refer out to somebody who's maybe better fitted to what you're looking for. So
also I have to tell you, your eyebrows are fabulous.
Thank you.
I just have
Thank
to say
you.
That's the one thing I notice is your eyebrows. She's got good eyebrows. Anyway, okay, we got to go. And I know you got
to
go because you got a call.
Yes,
thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you.
For all of this great info. I just want to go on I am on a trip right now. I'm in Mexico City, but this is family
trip.
Keep
going on trips.
Yeah, okay, keep going on trips. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Keep stay there. Don't hang up. Christy's going
to
do the outro.
Stay there very quickly.
Not to hang up.
Yes.
All of the social media places that you can check us out on Instagram, it's at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Facebook and Twitter is TBWP Podcast, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look us. Yeah, you'll find us. We're there.
You've only said
the website
300 times.
TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com. Our email, which is the best way to reach us, TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. And if you want to contribute $5 a month, which we would so appreciate if we're helping you to plan that wedding, we have a link on Patreon, patreon.com/TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast. We also offer consulting with either Michelle or myself, and that's really easy to set up and we think really valuable and fun. So just email us for more information about that and rate us and review us on iTunes.
Oh yeah, do that please, we love it. And you can call us and leave us a message with your question or comments or love notes at 415-723-1625. Call us now.
Thank you, Irina, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.
Bye.